Today is the 51st anniversary of the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. I have a guest who is joining us, and he is really one of my favorite people to have on the air. He is Russ Baker. Russ wrote the book Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, America's Invisible Government, and the Hidden History of the Last 50 Years. He's an investigative journalist, one of the great investigative journalists of our time. His work is published at whowhatwhy.com, where he also publishes the investigative work of other journalists. So this is the 51st anniversary of the assassination. It's also a time when it appears we're poised to have another Bush make a run for the White House, this time Jeb Bush, former governor of Florida. So what do these two things have in common? Well, more than you might imagine. Now, of course, to get the full story, you want to get the book, Family of Secrets. But right now, we're talking with Russ Baker. It's so good to talk with you again. Russ, thanks for being with us.
Pat, you're one of my favorites. Always love to do your show.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I'm so glad because I've missed you. So let's talk about the Kennedy assassination and Family Bush. Now, I know that we have limited time, so let's see how much we can get in. First, one of the major revelations among a lot of revelations in your book has to do with the Kennedy assassination. Here you are writing a book about the Bush family, and you're spending a lot of time writing this. I mean, it takes you years to do this. How did the Kennedy assassination become a part of the book on the Bush family?
Well, I read somewhere that George H.W. Bush was asked in an interview what he remembered about the day Kennedy was shot, and they asked him kind of innocuously, where were you when you heard that Kennedy was shot? And he apparently sort of went white and said, well, I can't remember where I was. And you and I have talked about this, how everybody over the age of five back then remembers where they were.
Everybody.
Yeah. So I thought, well, I'm doing a book about this family. I ought to find out where he was. And boy, that just took me down a rabbit's hole, and it began to explain why this man who wasn't taken that seriously was appointed to all these positions, a CIA director in 1976 when Senator Frank Church and his committee was really threatening to rip away and expose all of the family jewels of those covert operations of many, many years. They were right. Investigating assassinations and the CIA's involvement.
Well, you know, and that's a funny thing, because I know you've said this before, that we the CIA has been involved, as we know, in assassinations and the overthrow of governments in other countries. But we never think about the CIA maybe being involved in such a thing in our own country. And, you know, I think in recent years, there have been enough people asking questions about the Kennedy assassination that some people wonder if the CIA actually had a hand in this. So what did you find out about George Herbert Walker Bush and where he was on the day Kennedy was assassinated?
Well, in Family of Secrets, I've got, I think, about five chapters with Bush's and the Kennedy assassination. So it turned out to be quite a lot of interesting material. It shocked me, I must say, and I think it shocked everybody else. But among other things, what I found was that although he was named as an outsider, a CIA director in 1976, he actually was in the CIA himself for many, many years prior to 76, in fact, in the CIA throughout the 60s. So in 1963, on November 22, he was with the CIA. I discovered that he actually was in Dallas that day, and that he later attempted to sort of cover up the fact that he'd been there. I also established that he was in contact that week with some of the CIA's top coup planners, including people who were very good friends of his. And then I discovered that he was a friend of decades of a man named George Demoranschild, a white Russian emigre who, most interestingly, who had worked in the oil business, but most interestingly, had befriended a young man named Lee Harvey Oswald. Mm-hmm. And Demoranschild had been basically Lee Harvey Oswald's mentor for about half a year out of the last year prior to the assassination. And then, as I say, Demoranschild and George H.W. Bush go back with very close ties decades.
Decades. Okay. And so you found that George Herbert Walker Bush was in Dallas on November 22nd, 1963?
Yes. And in fact, what we're finding now is that quite a few of these fellows were in Dallas. By all indications, E. Howard Hunt, Quite possibly, we think General Lansdale was in Dallas. We think actually they may have turned out the entire crew. I'm in the process of doing more research. Hopefully there'll be another book out to go deeper into these things. But we see a whole bunch of the top covert ops people, a very close-knit group, closely associated with Alan Dulles, the CIA chief whom
right.
Kennedy had fired.
Right.
And so there they all are, either in Dallas or in other key places right at that time, and nobody can remember where they were. Some years later, Richard Helms, the chief of covert action in those days, said to somebody, some of our guys were in Dallas, but it was not an official operation.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, it
does,
means
is that
they were
covert?
Scared. It means that they were scared that somebody would discover that their people
yeah.
were there. Now, of course, what the CIA does is it's all about plausible deniability. And
yes.
so in Chile with Allende and in Arbenz in Guatemala and Lumumba in Congo and on and on and on, they were overthrowing or party to the murder of elected leaders all over the place, and they always could say we weren't there, or if our guys were there, they weren't really our guys, or they
right.
were there for some other reason, or
right.
we did know the people who did it, but we didn't mean to encourage them to go, you know, like they did in Vietnam, remember, with ZM, you know, I found some very interesting documents, Pat, recently, which I will publish in my next book, and they basically show all these guys in South Vietnam essentially encouraging the generals to have a coup and to kill these people, and then they say, well, we didn't really think they'd go all the way, and sorry about that.
Right, and that has been their modus operandi continuing. I mean, to this day, it always has to do with plausible deniability, and they have mastered it. They've gotten really, really good at distancing themselves from their own operations. Well, okay, I'm going to take a break, Russ, but I want to come back because George W. Bush, excuse me, Herbert Walker Bush, George's father, 41, President 41, he was in Dallas, but then he made a phone call from Houston. And so when we come back, let's talk a little bit about that, what the point of that was. And let's talk a little bit more about Dulles, too, because Dulles was close to George Herbert Walker Bush. And the CIA and President Kennedy did not have a good relationship at that time. Like you said, he fired Dulles as CIA director. Russ Baker is my guest. His website, by the way, is whowhatwhy.com, whowhatwhy.com. And his book, if you haven't read it, please get it. It is called Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, America's Invisible Government and the Hidden History of the Last 50 Years. And let me just say this real quickly. This book is heavily documented. It is heavily footnoted. Everything that Russ Baker asserts, he's got the facts to back it up. It's absolutely incredible. You definitely want to read this book. Good evening. It's 8:20 on KGO. I'm Pat Thurston. My guest is Russ Baker. Russ is an investigative journalist. He publishes the website whowhatwhy.com. And we talk often with Russ about the investigative work that he does. But the thing that I am continuously fascinated with is his book, Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, America's Invisible Government, and the Hidden History of the Last 50 Years. I was just looking at the Family of Secrets website, familyofsecrets.com, and there are some endorsements there that are fabulous. But, Russ, I got to tell you, my favorite is Dan Rathers. He says, a tour de force, Family of Secrets has made me rethink even those events I witnessed with my own eyes. I think that's perfect. Okay,
and Dan was in Dallas that day, by the way, and he remembers where he was. So,
and who doesn't? And as a matter of fact, you know, so much of this puts the lie to what George W. Bush said when he said that George Herbert Walker Bush, when he says that he doesn't remember where he was. There was the phone call that he made from Houston. Tell us about that.
Yeah, just a small correction there. He made that call from, or he says he made the call from Tyler, Texas. What happened was right around the time that Kennedy was declared dead, about 1:45 p.m. Kennedy was shot about 12:30. About 1:45, they declared him dead. And at that time, Bush was over in Tyler, Texas, which is a small city not far from Dallas. And he was supposedly about to speak to a Kiwanis Club gathering. As, by the way, he was running for U.S. Senate at the time, so he had more reason than most people to remember that day. and running on the Republican ticket. In any case, he made this call. He left and went to a payphone, and he made a call to what, the reason you say Houston is he called Houston. He called the FBI office there, and he talked. A man took the call. We later looked into him. We found out that this man who took the call was a friend of his, which he is not mentioned in any of the reports. But anyway, he calls and he says, "My name is George Herbert Walker Bush. I'm a oil man, and I'm calling from Tyler, Texas. I may have some information on a possible suspect in the Kennedy assassination." Now, that in itself, of course, the mere fact that he is identified, and we have a declassified FBI document on this phone call, the mere fact that he called to the FBI to say, "I might know who shot the president," would you would think would mean that he also would remember well that day.
Yeah, you would think so. And then there was a memo. It was a 1963 memo from the desk of J. Edgar Hoover. How does that play into this?
Sure. Well, just very quickly, by the way, on the other call, we looked into that, and in Family of Secrets, I've got a good part of a chapter just on that call where I concluded that the call was a red herring, that it was not intended to actually help the man he fingered, had nothing to do with the assassination. He actually knew the man fairly well, and that it was that it may have the only purpose of that call may have been to establish in government records the fact that he was somewhere other than Dallas right around that time. Now, the issue you're raising is separate declassified FBI memo, J. Edgar Hoover basically saying that we're doing a brief, it was about a briefing the day after Kennedy was shot, and it referred to discussion about Cuban-American exiles and the Kennedy assassination, and it said that the briefing was shared with somebody from military intelligence and Mr. George Bush of the CIA, and that it was very consistent with other research that I've done, suggesting that not only was Bush in the CIA in 63 and involved with Dallas, but that he was a key person actually handling or managing some of these Cuban exiles in Dallas and New Orleans and so on, who were virulently anti-Kennedy.
And to those who say that that had to be another George Bush?
Yeah, so when this document came out, it was 1988, and H.W. Bush was running for president. Of course, they were horrified when a reporter asked them about it, and they said, "Oh, you know, must be another George Bush." And then the CIA, which never comments on any of these things, did something very, very unusual. They actually came out and said, "We did have a guy by that name. It was another George Bush." They produced a fellow who actually a reporter ended up talking to. He was a very low-level man who actually was recruited for the CIA shortly before Kennedy was shot and let go shortly after. I don't find that to be a coincidence. We see a tendency in the intelligence agencies called doubling, where they deliberately try to have several people who look alike, sound alike, have the same names and so on for this exact kind of purpose.
Unbelievable. Let's get a call here, Russ. We've got Brenda calling from Burlingame. Brenda, hi. Welcome to KGO. You're on with Russ Baker. Go ahead.
Thank you. I think Lyndon Baines Johnson had Kennedy assassinated. And I think that's why Jackie Kennedy wouldn't take off her pink suit, blood encrusted. She wanted him to know she knew her husband's blood was at his hand.
Russ, what do you say about that? A lot of people have raised suspicions about LBJ.
Yeah, I mean, just in a nutshell, we know that LBJ was in real trouble, that there were multiple investigations heading his way. He may, frankly, if the Kennedys had stayed in office, A, he probably would have been taken off the ticket in 64, B, he could have faced many, many years in federal prison. And when he became president, all of those investigations ended. I think that he certainly benefited from it. Some of the research I've been doing, which will release sometime down the road, I think will show the extent to which he may have been involved in pieces of that. I don't believe that he had the capability to engineer, manage, and run the whole thing. So I think that he was, I think there were a lot of different people who wanted to get rid of the Kennedys, and certainly he was one of the main ones.
Yeah. Now, your book is replete with examples of the power wielded by the Bush family. It's, you know, the Kennedy part in Family of Secrets is small in comparison to what's the rest of what's exposed in the book. There's another Bush who's looking at the White House, Russ. I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's Jeb. Jeb, the former governor of Florida. And you know what? Jeb, he's smooth. The guy's got charm. He's smarter than his older brother. He's nicer. He's funnier. He's a better speaker. Do you think he may win? And have you seen any indications that the family is trying to pave his way?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're looking at is the royal reign in America. Bushes and Clintons sharing are going up and back for many, many years to come. I think there's a real possibility Jeb will run. I think there's a real possibility he'll win. I think there's a near certainty we'll either have a Bush or a Clinton back in there. Jeb is certainly, as you say, all of those things. However, at core, he is a Bush. And his values and the networks that he's part of and the institutions and interests that back them are very much the same for him. So it's important, to, as you judge these people, to try to look beyond the personality distinctions and to focus on qui bono, who stands to benefit when various of them obtain these offices.
Now, I often talk with you about your book, and I talk with you about the Kennedy revelations, but there's so much investigating that's going on your site at Who, What, Why. You want to tell us some of the things that you guys are reporting on right now?
Yeah, I mean, one story we've really put a lot of time in, because we're a small nonprofit organization, our resources are limited, but we became interested very early on with the Boston Marathon bombing, because we saw a rush to judgment very similar to the way that the government told us almost immediately with the Kennedy assassination they had been solved. There was nothing else to look at. Whenever we see that kind of shutdown of discussion, we always want to take a closer look. And so we've spent the last year and a half looking at anomalies on that bombing, the documented fact that the FBI had prior knowledge of and even direct contact with the older of the two brothers accused of the bombing. That all of that interests us. We see signs of a potential cover-up. We also see a lot of leaks by law enforcement attempting to prejudice the jury pool before the trial in January. So we're not taking sides on that, but we are trying to do good journalism and ask some good questions.
And as you always do. And you ask the kind of questions that other journalists don't want to ask, because they're oftentimes afraid they're going to step on toes or something. But I think that's something you're not afraid of. I think you've been stepping on toes for a while now, Russ, and I, for one, appreciate it. Thank you for being with us, and continue the good work. And let's refer people to whowhatwhy.com, and also go to familyofsecrets.com. I think you can order the book right off of the website, can you, Russ?
Yes, I believe you can.
Okay, and otherwise, get it off of Amazon or go to your local bookstore. It's called Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, America's Invisible Government, and the Hidden History of the Last 50 Years. And get your journalism at whowhatwhy.com. Russ Baker, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Pat.
You betcha. And